powered by Clear Vision Development Group. This is Better Than Before with Tony Richards, a business leaders podcast. Each week, we'll provide you with top business insights, fresh perspectives from world-class guests, and the tools you need to lead better than before. And now, here's your host, author and business coach, Tony Richards.
Everyone, Tony Richards here, your executive coach and business coach, and I want to welcome you to today's program. And today's program is brought to you by University Subaru. University Subaru, homegrown and proud of it. I'll be right back on Better Than Before on the C-Suite Radio Network.
There's nothing quite like the love of a good dog. At University Subaru, it seems to us they're all good. See special pet-friendly features in the new 2021 Subaru Outback and Forester. It's never been easier to hit the open road with your best friend and to keep them safe with Subaru all-wheel drive. Subaru is dog-tested and dog-approved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru, and a dog, a dog. University Subaru, Columbia, homegrown and proud of it.
Are you working twice as hard but enjoying fewer rewards? Maybe you're highly accomplished, but you just can't seem to break through and make the next big move. Or you run a business that has begun to grow stagnant. It doesn't have to stay that way. Even the best leaders have felt as if their careers were spiraling out of control. But that's when they had to lead and lead big. Tony Richards' new book, The Big Idea, 52 Ways to Be a Better Leader Now, will help launch you forward in leadership. Learn how to take charge and lead yourself, lead others, and lead your company. Purchase online today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and our website, clearvisiondevelopment.com.
Welcome back to Better Than Before. This is Tony Richards, and guess what? You got it. You've been waiting. You've been working. You've been trying. You've been pitching. You've been suggesting. And now it's yours. You finally got the promotion at which you have been aiming your targets. And just last week, you were a team member with other people. You were a peer. And now today, everything has changed. And now you're in charge of that same team group. You got promoted from within the pack, and all your hard work has earned you this shot at managing. Now, more than likely, you feel you know everybody in the group really, really well. You got relationships with them, and you have perspectives, ideas, and opinions about who is who. You think you know who adds a lot of strength and who detracts with their weaknesses. And you know what? They all got thoughts about you, too. They were your peers just last week, and now they're your direct reports this week. Some of them may be older than you. Some of them may have more experience than you. Some of them may have been former managers in the past at other companies. Some of them haven't. Some of them haven't been employed very long at all. Some of them you got along with, and maybe some of them you just kind of tried to get by with. Some of them you were friends with at work, and some you hung out with outside work. Yep. This all becomes more magnified now that you have become manager. You got to own it. You absolutely have to own it. You worked your butt off to get to this point. You got the advancement into management, and now it's yours to own. You got to live up to what you worked so hard to get. You got to refuse to let anyone make you feel bad about being the boss. If you don't take ownership, they're going to wonder why you were the one chosen to be the boss in the first place. If you're going to soft pedal and not really lead, somebody else should have been chosen and not you. Since you were the one picked, you better grab hold with both hands and take over. In fact, if you don't rise to the position, you're going to reinforce the thinking that it should have been them and not you. You got to be compelled to rise to a new level of performance, which will leave not a shadow of a doubt why you are the leader and deserving of this new role. never delay or walk away from a decision that has to be made. There's nothing wrong with thinking about it for a while, but if you're on top of your game, you learn to anticipate things before you have to make a decision. So you've done all your thinking and analysis on it up front. Most of the time, if someone asks you for a short-term decision and they have to know right now, the answer typically is no, because a lot of times if you just snap off a decision right off the top of your head and the timeline is super short for you to give an okay, you can't be hurt most of the time by saying no, but you can be hurt by anything you say yes to. In other situations where you've had time to think about it and you know what you want to do and the answer is already firmly in your mind, make that decision now and move on. You might have to make another decision right away. So anytime you delay one, you're possibly going to delay a whole string of them. And this doesn't mean the first one was wrong, just that your second one has the benefit of knowing more or being at this longer or having more additional information or whatever. But try not to delay a decision. Even if you say no, that's a decision, right? But don't delay or walk away from a decision and put it on the back burner and procrastinate if at all possible. A leader does not get distracted away from the main cause by issues that use time and energy out of proportion to the dominant cause. Let me read that again. A leader doesn't get distracted away from the main cause by issues that use time and energy out of proportion to the dominant cause. In other words, you don't get off on rabbit trails with issues that at the end of the day don't have anything to do with the number one thing you're trying to accomplish this year. You can get distracted, and you'll remember that I love to say this. My grandmother told me at one time when I was a little boy, don't chase two rabbits, focus on one, because if you chase two of them, you're never going to catch the one you wanted in the first place. And so a lot of times we get caught up in chasing rabbits, and they're using up our time. They're using up our energy. They don't have anything to do with the main thing that we're really working on. So the number one thing is don't get distracted and don't take your eye off the main thing with all these little things. Leaders attain that they might use the attainment to expand and share growth with others. What is the reason why you're progressing in your career? What is the reason that you are taking things? And I've said this many times, but I've journaled all the way back to the 80s. You know, I started doing the journaling thing way back there in the 1980s during my career. And I can go back to some of those journals from like, okay, I'm going to date myself now. So now we're in the 20s of 2020. So the 2010s. The 2000s, so that's 20 years. Then we got the 90s, that's 30 years. And we got the 80s, that's 40 years. So we're talking about 30-something to 40 years ago. I can go back to those journals and things that I wrote down that are just as true and useful today as they were back then. So that's just reinforcing my point. What's the use in learning if you're not going to retain it and be able to pass it on to help other people? It's just second nature to me, but I think right now you're having trouble finding people. You're having trouble finding good people. I know this because everybody is. But what I find is that people gravitate toward the leaders that they feel have their best interests at heart. And so if you feel like there's three people you could go to work for, it would be silly to go to work for the one who just paid you the most. And it would be smart to go to work for the one that you think you can get the most out of to accelerate your career. Because taking the most pay in a job because it's the most pay is an extremely short-term strategy. It has always been, and it always will be, because it's just common sense that when the market readjusts itself and there's people willing to come to work for a job for way less, but just as competent, why would you continue to pay somebody a lot of money when they're not as competent as somebody you could get for less? It just doesn't make sense. So if you're going to use that strategy of just trying to get the most from someone in a job, you better be pretty good. That's all I can say. because desperation turns to abundance at a pretty rapid pace. And when there's a lot of something, everything's worth less. When there's a scarcity of something, everything's worth more. You just got to keep in mind that that cycle continues to cycle. And when you get caught in a situation where you cashed in on the abundant and then you're needy in the scarcity, you're going to be in trouble. Probably the most important thing about leading people for performance is you've got to communicate the importance. There's an old proverb, and the proverb is, if the leader lets their people know it's important to them, it will become important to them. When a person knows it's important to you, it should become important to them then. If it doesn't, you probably have the wrong person. Because if they see or hear that something's important to you, and then it's not making it into the important quadrant for them, then you definitely have the wrong person. You can tell when people are coming along to your way of thinking when they start talking like you. So when you say certain things and you key in on those things because you're really trying to get them over with your person, and then you hear them have the same conversation using different words, they don't have it yet. When you say something and it's important to you, and then you hear them have a conversation with somebody and they say it like you said it and the way you said it, now you're on the right track. Now you know it's becoming more important to them. But you got to communicate the importance of both the person and the role. And you don't want to do it fast like you're trying to win a contest. Well, you're not trying to say the word just as fast as you possibly can so you can get it over with. You want to be genuine and authentic and use feeling with the communication dialogue that you're using. You have to let them know, hey, your success and you being a success here is very important to me. Do you prefer being told what you're doing right rather than what you're doing wrong? And this varies among people. Some people don't want the doing right. They just want you to jump right to the doing wrong so they can correct it as soon as possible. Other people might have either a more fragile ego or perhaps a more sensitive ego, and maybe you need to lead with the doing rights first and then slowly get into the doing wrongs. Or I really don't like putting it to another person as a coach. I don't like putting to them as a doing wrong, as maybe improvement oriented. What are some things that we need to be aware of that we need to be improvement oriented? What can we do better? Those kinds of things. But you need to be examining both sides. So you need to be told and or reinforcing to yourself the things that you're doing well. As human beings, we all need that. We need to know we're making progress. We need to know we're on the right track. We need the reinforcement of the good, right? And then we also need to know what we may be missing the boat on. I mean, no leader has perfect 360-degree view of their performance. We all have blind spots. And the more feedback you're either giving yourself or getting from a trusted source helps cut down on the blind spots. And it helps you see your total performance a lot more clearly. Interpersonal skills primarily involve social skills and empathy. And they're practiced in social situations and conversations with other people. And a leader who is talented in these areas can both listen and speak effectively. Now, this requires some sensitivity to other people, which also involves seeing people as interesting and unique individuals. When interpersonal skills are lacking, leaders have a harder time with true, real relationships because they tend to misunderstand other people, they tend to misjudge their own capabilities, and miss the entire situation. Outgoing people may look like they have a little easier time developing these skills than an introverted person, but make no mistake about it. We all have adapted behaviors that are necessary to grow this important leadership skill set. Let's give you the definition of interpersonal skills. We define it as effectively communicating, building rapport, and relating well to all kinds of people. Extroverts, introverts, analytics, highly assertive, highly outgoing, and people who are not very much outgoing. And the key in that definition is building rapport. Now, if you've never heard me break that word down into an acronym, it's really all people prefer others reflecting themselves. What does that mean? Birds of a feather flock together. In other words, people have an easier time communicating with people who are like themselves. So in order to build rapport in our interpersonal skills development, we have to work on stretching our behavior to get closer to the other person's behavior. And ideally, in a perfect world, if we go 20% toward the other person and the other person's also working on it and they go 20% toward us, then we have an easier time developing a relationship with that person and they have an easier time relating to us. Stand by. I've got five big quotes to help inspire the rest of your week coming up next here on Better Than Before.
There's nothing quite like the love of a good dog. At University Subaru, it seems to us they're all good. See special pet-friendly features in the new 2021 Subaru Outback and Forester. It's never been easier to hit the open road with your best friend and to keep them safe with Subaru all-wheel drive. Subaru is dog-tested and dog-approved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru, and a dog. University Subaru, Columbia, homegrown and proud of it.
Receive weekly coaching tips from Tony Richards, delivered straight to your inbox. Whether you're a CEO or an entrepreneur, Tony can help you reach your goals and give you a competitive edge within your industry. Tony's Monday morning coaching memo covers topics ranging from leadership development to teamwork to company culture and more. Text the word leadership to 38470 to sign up for Tony's Monday morning coaching memo or sign up online at clearvisiondevelopment.com.
Welcome back to Better Than Before. This is Tony Richards, and these are five quotes that will help inspire you to have a great week this week. Number one, self-esteem is the reputation you have with yourself. You always know the truth about yourself. Naval Ravikant. Number two, know what you want, work to get it, then value it once you have it. Nora Roberts. Number three, to dare is to lose one's footing immediately. Not to dare is to lose oneself. Soren Kierkegaard. Number four, we cannot live only for ourselves. 1,000 fibers connect us with our fellow men, and among those fibers, as synthetic threads, our action run as causes, and they come back to us as effects. Herman Melville. And number five, every single day is an opportunity to create a living masterpiece. Mike Jervis. That's our show today. Better Than Before is brought to you by University Subaru. University Subaru, homegrown and proud of it. Special thanks, as always, to super producer Tessa Hall. And until we visit again next week, I'll have a guest here. I'm your host, Tony Richards, reminding you that everything gets better when you get better.
For listening to Better Than Before with Tony Richards, a business leader's podcast powered by Clear Vision Development Group. For more resources from Tony, visit clearvisiondevelopment.com. Join us next time for another episode of Better Than Before with Tony Richards.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.